was really weird because it never rang on my end.
So it was showing me that you were online, and every time that I hit call, it said that you were offline.
Oh, and I got the same message when I tried calling you.
Okay.
Yay, technology.
Yeah, it fucking sucks.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, just working my way through summer in Florida.
Yeah, is it as hot there as it is everywhere else in the country?
It is, and it's very humid.
Ooh.
So it's like a steam bath.
Yeah, it's kind of humid here too.
And it doesn't cool off overnight, so like the air conditioner is constantly going. So that'll be, you know, a fun electric bill.
Oh yeah, of course.
But yeah, I mean, it's even too hot to go into the pool. That's how bad it is.
Wow. Yeah, just looking at my phone, it's supposedly 86 out, but it feels like 97 because of the humidity.
Yep.
And the next 3 days is supposed to be like 96 degrees, 97 degrees, something like that.
Why, thank you, global warming.
Yep. Doesn't exist, though. It's all a figment of the imagination.
Oh, yeah.
At least that's what I heard.
It's just getting worse.
Yep. It's all right. In November, democracy dies anyway. So who cares?
It's not dead already? Feels like it.
It's hanging on by a thread.
Yeah. Douchebag attorney Dan Newland has given all of his billboards around Orlando over to Trump.
Oh, God.
So there's like one on the way home. It's like, I wonder how I could hack into that.
I mean,
I wouldn't want to spray paint on a video board.
Okay. One of the things I don't understand about Republicans is that he has gone out of his way to say that when he gets back into office, he's getting rid of the Department of Education.
Yeah.
Like, if you are an adult of any intelligence, you're like, what the fuck is that? If you have kids that are young, what are you expecting?
But now they're going to recite the Ten Commandments every morning. Yeah. All the way through high school.
Well, that's fucking unconstitutional. So we'll see how
you know, it's
that
like
fucking lasts.
Somebody needs to take the Ten Commandments and corner every one of these Republicans and go, so, Lindsey Graham, explain to me why you violated this commandment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, worshiping false idols. Yep. There you go, right there.
Absolutely. I did see, though, that the Satanic Temple has already said, well, if you're putting in the Ten Commandments, we're going to sue you to put in our satanic tenets.
Sure.
Which, if you've ever read them, is more Christian than actual, you know, what the Republicans act like.
Yes.
So I'm all for the Satanic Temple stepping in. Hail Satan.
Well, I think Satanic Temple, the Jews,
yep,
the Buddhists,
yep,
the flying spaghetti monster,
yeah,
sect, all of them. Yeah, just cover the wall with all of these different religious tenets.
Yep.
And then the kids can decide.
Yep, because we're not a Christian nation. I don't care what they want to say, we're not a Christian nation. Never have
been. Well, and the reason there's... Yeah, and the reason we are is because the Founding Fathers did not want us to be in the same situation that they were in the UK.
Yes, it was a place to practice whatever religion you wanted. There is no single religion. Yeah. It's not a Christian nation. And whoever says so doesn't has never read the fucking Constitution.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, come on, November.
Yeah. Yep.
It will be interesting to see if these debates actually happen.
Oh, he's going to back out. He's without a doubt going to back out.
He's going to find some reason, or Biden's going to lay into him really, really harshly in the first few minutes, and he's going to walk off and pout.
Well, I mean, they're cutting mics when it's not their turn to speak, so.
Yeah, but he's also loud.
That goes against, well, I mean, and then they just, like, it's CNN, so all they're going to do is, like, they're going to, like, get in his face and be like, you cannot, you agreed to this, you cannot speak. And that's when he'll walk off. And right into a sentencing, so, you know, whatever.
Big baby.
Yep.
Well, have you watched anything good this week?
I've only watched a couple things.
Okay, me too.
Was a busy week, so... watched this episode of The Acolyte.
Yeah.
I don't understand the Disney fascination with 30-minute episodes. Especially in light of how ragged the editing, especially in this episode, was.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that just seemed to be cut out or dropped or whatever. And then you got a 30-minute episode and it was like, you have breathing room. You can like take a little while longer for shit to happen.
Right.
And I don't want to say it's lazy writing, but I would be very surprised if the dude from The Good Place is not the Sith Lord.
Right.
Because the Sith Lord just happens to show up.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I really want to like this show. Like, because it's different enough from everything else that we've seen. And I like the Jedi, and I like to see them in different situations. And this is long before we've ever known the Jedi before, but it just, there's something about this show that like is rubbing me the wrong way. And I can't put my finger on it.
This episode felt so disjointed, as if they were trying to scramble to shoehorn something into a finale.
Kinda. Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know.
How do you not show the Wookiee fight with a lightsaber?
Right.
Like, that's what everybody's waiting for. Like, why all of a sudden, why can't you start the fight on screen and then end it off screen?
Mm-hmm.
So that it's not a big reveal, like it's not a shocking reveal that the Sith Lord is there.
Right.
With the weird smiley helmet. Like, like, oh, okay. Like, from day one, whenever that dude, like, was waiting for May to come back after killing the Jedi, the things that he was saying, it was like, well, he's the bad guy. Like, he's watching her closely, and she doesn't know that it's him. And this just kind of confirms it, that, like, May screams, or so they're having this conversation, and May decides that she's going to set a trap for her handler or whatever the fuck he's supposed to be. Then screams, and the Jedi hear it, and they go running off into the woods, but they never come across the dude.
Right.
And it's just like, you could, like, if you really wanted to suspend the disbelief of like, this is not your bad guy, you come up upon him upside down. And then all of a sudden the Wookiee's dead and like, what's going on? But I don't know. It's just so disjointed. Like, everything about this show, it feels like a goddamn fan film.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a problem with the Disney stuff for a long time.
How did you feel about the big cameo?
Ki-Adi-Mundi, or whatever his name is?
Yeah.
That totally fucks up the Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
Where he basically was like, Sith haven't been around for a millennia. Like, you were there. You know what's going on. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
And was that Plo Koon behind him? Like, there's a dude that looks just like Plo Koon.
Oh, it could have been. I didn't notice that one.
So, you know,
I just thought it was kind of a stupid cameo.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know how to feel about this show. I really want to like it. But every time I see an interview with either the cast or the filmmakers where none of them were Star Wars fans going into it, mm-hmm. so none of them knew what, like, the story was supposed to be. You got the dude that took his shirt off that was like, oh, it's not about good versus evil. Like, that's not what Star Wars is about. And then they cut to George Lucas saying, well, the whole thing is good versus evil.
Right.
And it's like, you couldn't even give this dude a primer on, like, Star Wars. Like, it's a battle of good versus evil. But then you hear, like, these things. I don't know if you've heard about the someone at Lucasfilm is trying to change calling it the light side and the dark side because they feel that calling it the dark side is racist.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. And it's just like, come on. Like, I consider myself a woke person, but that's going too fucking far. You got the showrunner for The Acolyte who's like, R2-D2 is a lesbian, and it's like canon that C-3PO is gay, and it's like, they're fucking droids. Like,
right.
Why does that have to come into it? Like, I don't, unless they're just, I don't know. It's just weird. The show's not good enough for that to be, like, you know, the underlying thing.
Right.
So,
well, there's also a theory going around that the twins have some connection to Anakin, and that Shmi was actually part of that sect of witches.
Shmi would be awful old.
She would.
Especially if all those witches are dead.
Right.
Although Mei was supposedly dead and she's not, so. I don't know, maybe some of them survived. Like, nobody ever went to check.
Right, nobody was, like, checking pulses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I want it to be better. It's not going to be. That's kind of like, let's just finish this. Wrap this up. Let's go.
Yeah. I think they just need to, like, let it lie as its own thing. And, you know, some people go back and revisit it. I don't know if I ever will. I mean, and I like some of the actors that are there. I like the girl that plays the Padawan with the little spiky things on her head.
Uh-huh.
Like, she's great in other things. The main guy that was in Squid Game is a really good actor.
Right.
They're just put in this thing that just is not a good representation of Star Wars.
No.
Whatever that is. And I don't mind them changing, like, canon and shit if it's justified. But at the same time, it's like, if you're going to put Ki-Adi-Mundi in it, then you need to know what his lines from the other appearances are.
Right. Well, and there's also somebody at Lucasfilm who's, you know, called the Keeper of the Holocron, and he's supposed to know every single detail about the stories. It's like, how are those things getting by us?
Yeah. I mean, unless that's just like, you know, you're paying somebody, you're paying somebody to just sit there and be like, yeah, it's fine. So I don't know. I don't know. It's very weird. I also watched the finale of Doctor Who? Are you caught up with Doctor Who at all?
I'm caught up with Doctor Who.
Okay.
I liked this episode. I liked the way it ended. I almost expected it to be after the Dust of Death was like wiping out everything and they were kind of lost in the in space or wherever they were,
yeah,
to be the end of it. Like, here's major cliffhanger. You don't know if anybody's alive until we come back in a year.
Right.
But I liked it. I liked the idea that Ruby's mother is just some ordinary girl who is, you know, too young to have a baby and, yep, you know, put it up for adoption. And I liked the I had not realized that Susan was those other characters appearing throughout the first part of the season.
Yeah. They did a really good job of having that all in there, but not calling attention to it until,
yep,
the story needed it to.
Mm-hmm.
And in a series like Doctor Who, where for the most part, they're standalone episodes, the weaving of that into the storytelling was done very well.
Yes.
This could be one of my favorite seasons of Doctor Who ever. The stories were different. The actors were all great. And these last two episodes that basically were tying things together was just so well done. Like, the last, well, I guess it was in the beginning of this last episode when the Dust of Death really starts to like kill everybody and you're like, holy shit, they're actually like wiping out characters. And they wipe out the little kid on the scooter that's working for the unit. And you're like, well, if they're killing children, like this is something major. And like, I didn't expect everybody to stay dead, but there didn't seem to be anything that was pointing towards a resolution. They weren't giving anything away. And even the thing where the doctor was telling Ruby about how the TARDIS has this field and it's 66 meters and she was like 73 feet. And that ties into the episode where she like lived out her life being chased by the woman at 77 feet or whatever it was. That all tying back and he's like, how do you know that? And she's like, I don't know. It was just such a coherent story that like you don't normally see that very often at all in something that's supposed to be like standalone. And that it just was like mind blowing to me that it all worked out. And I still think that Nkuti is an amazing doctor. I think the emotion that he's putting into his doctor hasn't been seen in a very long time.
No, I think he's doing a great job. And it's been a good season because you kind of got that balance between sci-fi and then the old over-the-top,
yep,
crazy storylines.
Yep. And we'll get a new companion now next season. And, you know.
Yep.
They're already shooting because I guess Disney bought two seasons up front.
Apparently it's already done.
Oh, is it already done?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, and there's a Christmas special.
Oh, good. I think that they were just trying to get Nkuti before he like explodes into like a major star, and is like, well, at least we have another season in the bag.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd like to see him as James Bond.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I truly think that like maybe not since the David Tennant era have I been this excited about Doctor Who. I mean, I liked Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi. Wasn't a huge fan of what's her name? The female doctor.
Mel. Her.
The female doctor.
I know who you mean.
Yeah, like, I have nothing against it. I just think the writing was terrible. Like, if this had been the season with the female doctor, I'd be just as jazzed for it. So, but I don't think since David Tennant have I been as excited for Doctor Who to come back and like the Christmas special and see what's next.
Right.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to see what happens, what they can come up with next. And being that they have the budget now to do really decent visual effects, and even though the bad guy didn't really like lip sync his words,
right,
it was still good enough to be like, that seems imposing, as opposed to just like laughing it off like old Doctor Who, you know, the Daleks with the plungers that you're supposed to be scared of and shit like that. So,
right.
And I do feel like while David Tennant did the 60th anniversary specials in the beginning of the season, I feel like this entire season was more or less a love letter to the 60 years of Doctor Who, especially this last episode.
Yep.
Where he was seeing past episodes and doctors and things on the little TV screen. And they were like, oh, that was me. And like, you know, he's telling Mel that, remember when we met Einstein and like, wasn't that cool? And like, it's all a big giant love letter to the 60 years. Like, you know, we haven't forgot about you.
Yeah.
And the TARDIS, the Remember TARDIS with all the props and stuff in it was a nice nod to that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
The drawers full of sonic screwdrivers and like the big scarf and, you know, all the clothes and stuff. It would have been cool if that was like the TARDIS that he winds up in for the rest of the show, though. Like, there's just this little tiny room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be funny.
The only other thing that I watched this week was The Boys. Since that's back. And I find it very funny. I don't know if you've watched what has happened online since The Boys came back. But they have basically turned Homelander into a conservative douchebag. Like, not that he wasn't always, but they are being real deliberate with like the parallels between Homelander and his followers and Trump and his followers. And so the conservatives are outraged that the boys are so woke. And it was like,
right.
Haven't you been watching from the beginning? Homelander's always been a narcissist. He's always been that guy. They're just kind of hanging a lantern on it right now. So I just think that's funny. Have you watched any of the episodes?
I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't. I kind of lost interest in it.
No, it's good. I've always liked it. It's still like weird and over the top and more male nudity than female nudity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy in one of the episodes. So there's a new superhero called Firecracker, who is, they've basically said that she's like the Marjorie Taylor Greene of that universe. She believes in all the conspiracy theories, and she's always giving out wrong information and blah blah blah. And she's got a helper that can split himself into multiple versions of himself. And at one point he's naked and like, there's like 10 of them and there's just like dicks flopping around and stuff. And it's like, yep, this is the boys. So it's still funny though. And I think that, Anthony Starr deserves a lot of recognition for his portrayal as Homelander. I don't know how that will come, whether it be like an Emmy or whatever, but I do think he needs some recognition for it.
Yeah.
He plays narcissist really well.
Yeah, he really does. The other thing I watched this week was Quiet on the Set.
Oh,
that
okay.
Documentary about the Nickelodeon child stars who are all being molested and abused and harassed. And
yeah,
there's some messed up stuff that was going on. And it's like they kind of make it all out to be Dan Schneider.
Right.
You know, the big fat kid who was on
Head of the Class.
Head of the Class.
Yep.
And I kind of forgot that the other kid from Head of the Class, who was kind of like the street rat, Brian Robbins, was okay. Also his producing partner back in the early days.
Oh, really?
And that Dan Schneider wrote Head of the Class and sold it.
Really?
Like, he had a lot of success early on.
Huh, okay.
But this guy was just an absolute piece of shit.
Okay.
They start showing clips from a lot of the basic Nickelodeon shows, and, you know, there's Ariana Grande trying to squeeze a potato, and she's like, give me the juice, give me the juice, give me the juice. There's a scene of her on a bed saying, I'm thirsty, and pouring a bottle of water on her. There's another clip from a show where two girls are like at a convenience store, and they're talking about this candy thing where you're supposed to, like, you know, bite off the end of this tube, kind of like a pixie stick, but it was like a jelly kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, the girl has trouble opening it, and it ends up like exploding in the other girl's face. I mean, a lot of weird sexual innuendo that probably people noticed and said nothing about. And he would do things, Dan Schneider would do things like he would call different women from the cast and crew and tell them to come to the set to massage him.
Ooh.
And it could have been like, you know, a writer or costume designer, or, you know, he treated women like crap. And
wow.
They were showing like Amanda Bynes, who as an adult has had a really fucked up time.
Yeah.
How he basically became like her Svengali and controlled her. And, you know, there's pictures of him as like a, I don't know, 20, 30 year old guy. And she's like hugging up on him as like, you know, 13.
Ugh.
It's like really creepy stuff.
Yeah.
He only had two female writers on his projects, and he made them share a salary.
What?
Yeah. And then one of the writers was told she was coming back for season two, and he says, I'm going to give you a 16-week contract, but you're going to work 27 weeks.
That's douchey.
Yeah.
And he denies all this, right?
He denies it, but he says he's learned a lot and he's ready to come back because he understands how he can be a better boss. And I'm sure he will. I mean, the real bad guy was this acting coach. And it's really odd that there was like only one of the Nickelodeon stars who came out against him. And that was, what's his name? Drake Bell?
Yeah.
Of Josh and Drake?
Yeah.
And he's talking about how, like, this guy showed up on the set, and he was a friend of Dan's, and he was the vocal coach, and Drake's parents were divorced. And the father had been kind of looking for something they could do together to sort of bond over, you know, after the divorce and stuff. And he's, you know, he kind of got the kid into acting. And he's saying that, you know, as this guy put himself in Drake's life, he started feeding him stuff about how, like, you know, your father really shouldn't be your agent. It's like, you know, he's only going to steal your money and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, making him doubt his father's intentions. And then the father's like, well, I don't want to cause anything. I'm going to, you know, sign everything over to the ex-wife, give her all the paperwork, all the power of attorney she needs to do this. And she kind of takes over. And then she doesn't want to drive the kid to LA for auditions and rehearsals and stuff. So the vocal coach is picking the kid up and he's spending the night, and you know, he's taking him to Disneyland with all of his other gay friends. And, you know, one night the kid says he woke up and he was sleeping on the couch and he was being penetrated.
Oh my God.
But there was all this misinformation about, you know, there's a bunch of other Nickelodeon people and people like Joanna Kearns and Alan Thicke who wrote letters in favor of this guy, saying it's like, I don't think he would ever have done this. This he must have been tempted. And like the word tempted shows up in like 6 or 7 different people's letters. And it's like, oh, he really had people working for him.
Yeah.
You know, other kid actors like Will Friedle and Ryder Strong and James Marsden at the time, you know, just applauded this kid.
Jesus.
Acting coach. And they're saying how, like, you know, the parents weren't allowed to be on the set. They were kind of wrangled when they got there by the PA and kind of taken off set so they weren't seeing all the stuff going on. And I don't know. I mean, it's very Trumpy in that these people exert this power over people who are really impressionable.
Right.
Being able to, like, you know, basically have them, you know, out their parents. And I think at one point they were trying to get Amanda Bynes to be emancipated. And it's like, that's so wrong. Why does this happen?
Yeah, and look at her now.
Well, yeah, she's a total trash. Well, and this kid, Drake Bell, he ended up having a lot of problems. He ended up molesting a younger girl and he went to jail for it. It's like, you know, that's just the cycle.
Right.
You know, abusive parents becoming abusive parents and
yep.
So forth and so on. But I mean, it was really disgusting.
Wow.
All the things they were showing, and they were showing like that Dan Schneider had a foot fetish. And they're like all these clips of like these girls like either having their feet massaged or close-ups on bare feet. It's like, I mean, when you put it in this context,
right?
It's like, you know, I mean, Nickelodeon should have been sued into the ground.
Yeah, especially kids. I mean, there's something like, if that's your thing as an adult, that's fine, but you don't bring kids into it.
No.
What the fuck?
No, totally disgusting. And apparently the vocal coach was brought back to work on other kids' series after he did, you know, a short time in jail.
Oh, God.
It's like, what? There's no accountability?
No.
I don't know.
Not.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Because they're making the money.
All that's just it. And that's, you know, what some of the kids who didn't go on to have careers were saying in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, as long as Dan Schneider is making Nickelodeon money, Nickelodeon's going to look the other way.
Sure.
And when he gets caught, it's going to be like, well, we didn't know. Like, how come nobody
right.
said anything? Because kids are impressionable, and you say, if you fucking tell anybody, you'll never work again.
Right.
And so they don't tell anybody. And then, like, I hear all this shit, like, Ariana Grande's, like, mortified when she looks back on it, and it's like, well, you should have... You can't tell me you didn't know what was going on at the time. I don't know. I mean, it's weird. It should never have gotten to that. And as a parent, like, I can't imagine putting my kid through that and seeing what's going on and then not doing anything.
Right.
And I guess it's just that thing. Hey, they're making a lot of money. Just let them do it.
Right.
But still, it's your kid. You're fucking pimping your kid out.
Do you remember a series called Action with Josh Moore?
Yes.
And there was a whole storyline about this young girl, she wasn't legal, that he wanted to do some sort of nude scene or side boob or something like that. And he's talking to the kid's agent, and, you know, he makes an offer of, you know, however, hundreds of thousands of dollars. He says, for that kind of money, it's like, you know, you can have her do a, you know, a gynecological exam live on TV. I don't care. I was like, that's kind of creepy that that's based in reality.
Right.
So, yeah, really, really uplifting, really positive story if you're interested. We did have a death this week.
We did. Go ahead.
Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland.
Father of Kiefer.
Yeah. Donald Sutherland, whose acting career goes back decades.
Right.
I think I first saw him, is it Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that was the first time I ever saw him, but he was always that guy that seemed old no matter when I saw him.
Right.
Like he always seemed like he was 60 to me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, he's been in everything from JFK to Backdraft to the remake of The Italian Job. He's done it all. And yeah, his son Kiefer was Kiefer part of the Brat Pack, or was he like Brat Pack
Not
adjacent?
Not really. I think he was like a few years later.
Okay. But yeah, Kiefer was very distraught this week, as
yeah,
you would expect.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Sutherland was Hawkeye Pierce in the movie MASH. Yep. He did Cluche. Yep. Kentucky Fried Movie, which is a bizarre film. Animal House. Well, he was in Animal House.
MASH is a bizarre film.
Yeah. Well, any movie that's theme song is Suicide is Painless.
Well, yeah. It's not like the TV show.
Yeah. He was in the movie of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the first one.
Yep.
And, I mean, I think he still had stuff going on. Yeah, up until last year. Did some voice work. Did some lot of TV stuff.
Yeah, that's one that kind of hurts. I mean, he did a lot.
Yeah, Hunger Games.
Yep. And I'm sure that's where all the... That's what my kid knew him from. She, the day that he died, she came into the studio and was like, guess who died? And I was like, who? She was like, the president from the Hunger Games. And I was like, oh, the guy from Backdraft? And like, she just blankly stared at me. And, you know, because they only ever associate them with like the one thing that they like them for. So.
Right.
You know, we see the body of work where the kids just see the one thing. But yeah, he'll be missed.
Definitely.
Did they say what he died from?
They said he had a long-term illness. I don't think they ever officially said what it was.
Okay.
So, yeah. We got a new cast photo of Only Murders in the Building.
We did. Apparently they're doing a movie version of it in the next season.
Right.
And with the likes of Zach Galifianakis and Eugene Levy.
Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Eva Longoria.
Eva Longoria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting casting. They do really well with casting, so we'll see what. See what it ends up being like.
Yeah.
I do want your take on two things, though.
What's that?
Well, it was also announced this week that Josh Gad is doing Spaceballs 2.
No, 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 no. No. No.
Apparently he is writing it and Mel Brooks is producing it.
Oh, well, Mel's just cashing the check.
He is. I think he's reached the point where he's just like, I don't fucking care. I don't like Josh Gad. I don't think, like, the only thing that I can assume that he's going to be Barf's son.
Oh.
Like, but the time has passed for Spaceballs. Spaceballs is a classic. Don't fuck with Spaceballs.
Right.
I just don't feel like it needs it. Like, if they weren't going to do it under the direction of Mel Brooks, then it doesn't need to be done.
No. You're not going to create the same magic.
Nope.
It's going to be something totally different. And why cheapen it? I mean, he hasn't proven himself as a movie star.
No.
You know, and yeah.
But he's a Disney legend.
Bad idea. For one fucking role.
Hey.
What? Who cares?
I totally agree with you. But, like, that's the shit that everybody says. He's like, oh, he's a Disney legend. This is going to be great. And it's like, according to who?
Yeah.
I mean, if Disney, I'm sure it's not going to be, well, Disney would have to approve it if it's going to be a takeoff on Star Wars again, I would assume.
Yeah, I would assume so, because Mel Brooks had to get blessing to do the original.
Yeah. And
weird.
Poor Mel Brooks was told, well, you can do it, just you can't do any merchandise.
Merchandise, yep.
I don't know how much merchandise they actually would have sold, but...
You know. No, because, I mean... If people were clamoring for merchandise, some fan would have been producing stuff.
Yeah, and you can get some stuff. Like there, you can get, like, the license plate from the Eagle 5 and, like, certain things. But, like, back in the day, it wasn't a, like, a real, like, kid-friendly movie. I mean, it's kid-friendly.
No, it was
but
Mel,
like,
Brooks.
It's a Mel Brooks movie, so... You know, there's definitely a lot of sexual innuendo in there and other things. So yeah, that's gonna come. That we'll see how bad that looks.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to get your take on is that Jim Henson Company is selling their Charlie Chaplin Studios.
Yes, I think that is horrible. I hope that they're not gonna sell it and they tear it all down for condos or something. I mean, that's the original Charlie Chaplin movie studio.
Yeah. And Brian Henson's office is Charlie Chaplin's office. And
right.
Apparently it's on the list of Los Angeles historic cultural monuments. So it is a historic landmark.
Right.
So I guess they can't tear it down. I've also heard that is a really shitty neighborhood.
Oh, it is. Okay. I've been there. Yeah, I didn't get out of my car.
Some of the comments that I saw was like, worked on that block, wouldn't cross the street. Like, if I was being chased. Like, so maybe that has something to do with it. But I just don't want this to be the end of the Jim Henson Company.
No, that's not going to happen. I hope that's not going to happen. But, I mean, that studio has been around since 1917.
Yeah.
And then back in the late 60s to early, well, late 60s to end of the 90s, it was A&M Records, right. A&M Studios. So Nine Inch Nails recorded in there. Yep. That's where USA for Africa was recorded.
Yep. Apparently, yeah. According to Walt Disney World News Today, the
oh,
sale,
that's clickbait.
Well,
don't believe it.
But okay, so according, but this is via something else. So the sale is a part of a much a longer term strategy to have the Jim Henson Company and the Burbank based Jim Henson Creature Shop under one roof, which is not feasible in Hollywood due to the space that the shop requires.
Okay, I could see that.
So good. At least they're not they're not going away. But But yeah, if they tear that down, that's going to be a major fucking issue.
Right.
I don't know what else would go in there, though. I mean, if the neighborhood's that bad, I don't know what would be like, hey, this is a good place.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's right on the street. It's not like it's, you know, back a ways that you could, you know, gate it off. I mean, there's a gate there, but.
Right. And it's actually, know. It's used as the studios in the Muppet Revival movie that
right.
Jason Segel did, right? I mean, that isn't mm-hmm. that in there too? I want to say
yes,
like
so.
It shows up in there, like as mm-hmm. the, as like the old Muppet Studio or something. So,
yeah, you know. I don't know. It's old Hollywood's not really getting the respect it needed. Like, was it the not the Warner Brothers lot? Was it the Sony lot that they just like bulldozed?
You mean the Warner Brothers Ranch?
That's what it was.
Yeah, where they filmed like, well, they filmed Christmas Vacation and Lethal Weapon and Bewitched. And one of the last things they did was WandaVision.
Yep.
And yeah, they just bulldozed it all.
Yeah. Young Sheldon. They blew up. Meemaw lived in one of the houses and they blew it up because there was a hurricane storyline. Yeah. It's really sad. Because I love going to those old lots and looking and seeing,
yeah.
you know, what's what.
I guess it's just one of those things of you can maintain that or like, you know, the digital is so well done these days that like you can have a building inside a soundstage that looks like it's on a street.
Yeah.
And that's it's just cheaper and it's more climate controlled and you don't have to worry about the weather and. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but the newest Ghostbusters film, Frozen Empire.
I have.
Okay.
Yep.
So they rebuilt the entire firehouse, almost to scale inside a soundstage. And 99% of what you see on the street in front of that building in the movie is all done in the soundstage and you would never know it. Like it looks like they're on the streets of New York. So, you know, maybe it's just that they can get more money for that space. And I don't know if they're building more sound stages there or whether they're just going to.
No, offices.
So it's just offices?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a damn shame. I mean, fortunately, I feel like the ones that are at Universal Studios will never go away just because it's part of the theme park.
No, but some of them are garbage, like Whoville and the War of the World set and, you know.
Yeah.
Keep the Bates Motel. They even got rid of one of their sound stages was the original soundstage where they filmed the black and white Phantom of the Opera with Lon Chaney. And the Opera House set was kept intact in that building for decades until right. they finally removed it.
Oh.
So.
Because wasn't that supposed to be haunted? Wasn't that like always the thing? Like weird things always happen in there?
No, I think that was a Hardy Boys episode.
No, I could have sworn that. I don't know. I had read that somewhere. It's good that it survived all those fires.
Yeah.
Universal was always burning down for a while.
Oh, apparently it was alleged to be haunted.
Haha, see?
Soundstage 28.
Okay. Maybe it was just a tour thing. Maybe they just told you that, but I kind of remember that being a thing.
Yeah.
From when I went there in 1988.
Yeah, well, it was torn down about 10 years ago.
Oh,
things have changed. history's being destroyed. Yep. So sad, so sad. But speaking of Universal Monsters,
yes,
did you see the new teaser for Epic Adventure, the what do they call it, the Dark something or other?
No.
Which is, it's part of the new theme park they're building here in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not it. What's it called?
Universal Epic Universe?
Yeah.
Explore the Dark
Universe? Oh, maybe it's just Dark Universe. Dark. Okay. There you go. That's what it is.
Okay.
It looks pretty cool. You know, there's a Frankenstein attraction. There's a werewolf attraction. There's a basement catacombs restaurant and bar. I think it could be kind of cool.
As long as it ends up looking like, you know, what they tell people it's going to look like and not, you know, we ran out of money, so here's a super scaled down version of it.
They usually don't. It's Disney who runs out of money and then cuts their scope. But I just wonder what this land is going to look like during daytime. I mean, it's meant to be seen after dark.
Right.
So that'll be kind of interesting to see.
That's funny. Oh, and it's Dr. Victoria Frankenstein?
Yes.
Okay. The daughter of Victor Frankenstein, or are we just rewriting stuff?
It's daughter or granddaughter.
Okay. I mean, all the stuff that I've seen, this new theme park looks gigantic, and like, you know, it's got a Harry Potter section and a Super Mario Brothers section. And the Super Mario thing in L.A. looked fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that, like, this is just they're, you know, they do the old, well, why build one when we can build two?
Yeah.
But, like, the Ministry of Magic thing looks really cool for Harry Potter. And
I mean, they've done Harry Potter really well.
Yes,
so, you know, we've got the How to Train Your Dragon Land, mm-hmm, and the Super Mario.
And they have this is the theme park that has the roller coaster that quote unquote jumps the tracks, right?
Maybe.
I can't remember what that was for, but I think it's in this theme park.
Okay.
But yeah, Universal's becoming the next, like, sprawling theme park property. But Epic Universe is not near Universal Studios, though, right? Isn't it quite a bit away?
No, it's not quite a bit away. Oh. It's not right next to the other two parks.
Okay.
You can't walk from one to the other. You've got to take a shuttle over to it.
Okay.
If you remember, I drive kind of that intersection before, if you come down Kirkman and it intersects with International Drive, and if you were to turn left, you'd go down to the outlets.
Okay.
You'd go straight on Kirkman towards Lockheed Martin, and that's the property down there.
Oh, okay.
So it's, you know, maybe it's a 10-minute bus ride or something.
Okay.
I mean, no different than, you know, going from Magic Kingdom to Hollywood Studios.
Right.
You know, they're not set up like, you know, like the Universal parks. You can walk from one to the other, or California Adventure and Disneyland.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think they're going to provoke a lot of other area attractions to step up their game.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we can only hope.
All right, so I go down Kirkman
towards Florida Mall.
Okay.
Uh,
I mean, I'm guessing it's not going to show up on Google Maps, but.
Well, if you look for Lockheed Martin on the Google map, if that's still there, you would see it.
Okay, I see where it is now.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It's kind of like behind the convention center.
No.
No? Am I looking at the wrong one?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not that much space in Orlando. Okay. Is it because there's a Universal Helios Grand Hotel going up?
Yes, that's one of them.
Okay. So it's not too far from the convention center. And it looks like a water treatment plant right next door. That's going to smell great.
Yeah. Well, that'll probably be next to the employee offices or something.
Of course.
But yeah.
Just need the wind blowing the right way. Wow. Orlando's changing.
It is. There's going to be another new version of Batman coming out. I believe it's animated. It features Christina Ricci as Catwoman. What? And Hamish Linklater as Batman, as voices.
Really?
Yep.
When is that coming out?
I don't know, this article doesn't quite say.
And what's it called?
I'm not even seeing that.
Batman the Caped Crusader?
Maybe. Yes.
ReactorMag.com?
I see it in Vanity Fair.
Okay. Jamie Chung? Harley Quinn, Diedrich Bader as Harvey.
Harvey, yeah.
August 1st, 2024.
Coming up soon.
Prime Video.
Well, good. Prime has to have something worth watching.
I mean, it looks, if the picture is from this, it's very animated series looking, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. Wasn't Diedrich Bader Batman at one point?
I kind of think he was.
Okay.
Brave and the Bold. Brave and the Bold.
Okay.
Yep.
And now he's aged out, and now he's just Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yep.
Uh, There, I don't know if you've seen this yet. There is a new short called the F word.
No, I haven't.
I think it's from the New Yorker, actually. Yeah, it's on the New Yorker website or YouTube site. But this little girl comes home and tells her daddy that she's like, "What does fuck mean?" And he goes into all the variations of the word and how you can use it as a verb or a qualifier or an adjective. And at the end of the video, he's telling her, it's like, "So now do you understand what the F word is?" And she's like, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, now here's the most important thing to remember. Never, ever say it." But it's very cute. You should check it out.
Wasn't there... Do you remember the audio that used to go around where we worked?
Uh-huh.
About the word fuck?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's very similar to this, to this short. It's funny.
We'll have to check that out. The other thing, I can't remember now. Getting old. You're gonna go see Inside Out 2?
No, haven't seen Inside Out 1.
No. Yeah, I don't remember what the other thing was.
Yeah, we're getting a couple of Disney Marvel comics coming out.
Yeah.
The first one is Uncle Scrooge and the Infinity Dime.
Oh my God, really?
Yep.
Okay. Synergy.
He becomes a wicked duck who seeks the wealth of every variant of himself. And then the second is coming out, I think it's this fall, is What If Donald Duck Became Thor?
Would Donald really be worthy of lifting Mjolnir?
Well, that's why they're saying it's what if. What if there's a loophole where you don't have to be worthy?
I mean, he was always kind of mean.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. Was a Nazi at one point.
Mm-hmm. No, he wasn't. Was he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was, because he was making bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, how far we've come.
Yeah, he used to get up and put on his little Nazi uniform.
Yep.
Ah, Disney.
That's when Disney was relevant.
You don't think
way back when
relevant anymore?
I don't know. I think the jury is out on that one.
That's funny. Oh, good times. You got
interesting times, at least.
Yeah. You got anything else for this week?
No.
No. All right.
I've run dry.
Okay. You might want to get that looked at.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
I am